Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. Excuse me. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is May 1st, yay, 2023, and today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 78, paragraph 2, which begins with "Most alcoholics owe money," and ends with "If we are afraid to face them," commenting on one paragraph only today. Today's readers are Rhonda R. for the 12 steps, Tanya P. for the 12 traditions, Betsy H. will read and comment, Shelley E., page 164, and Jody E. is here for backup. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday is 20209. That's 20209. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, is 20210. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R. in Georgia. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you so much for the opportunity to do service. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. And Tanya P., will you please read the 12 traditions of OA for us?
Yes, thank you. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop overeating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, Overeaters Anonymous as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 78, paragraph 2, which begins, most alcoholics owe money, and ends with, if we are afraid to face them. And I will now ask Betsy H. to begin reading.
Good morning, Betsy H., recovered compulsive reader in California. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. Yeah, and this is a great example of just being in the process of putting down the food and then working the steps. And this, working the steps is really just like a big cleanup job in my experience. It's like cleaning up everything that has been blocking me from my higher power, because I need this higher power to come into my life every single day so I don't have to overeat. It's like I've had a bad Wi-Fi signal with my higher power, and I need to do some troubleshooting and get a good Wi-Fi signal, because I need that in order that my computer will work. I'll be able to do what I need to do. And just being in that chaotic, scary place of putting down the food and then realizing I've just screwed up my life in so many ways, it's a rough place to be. But I'm willing to do anything I need to do to recover. And I just got to be truthful about it, is, you know, what I'm getting from this paragraph, you know, and face it. And it's amazing how things start to work out in unexpected ways once I'm putting down the addictive substance and I'm working the steps. Then higher power can really come in and resolve problems. But, you know, if I'm just trying to avoid the fact that I'm owing money or I'm owing some kind of an amends, I'm still, it's just blocking me, and it's just like things aren't getting resolved. And it's interesting here, it also says in this paragraph that, you know, we may need to, we'll probably admit to them our drinking, or in our case, our overeating. and that they probably know anyway. And that's kind of interesting, because I think like, oh, my compulsive reading wasn't hurting anyone but me. But a lot of times it is, and people do know that something is going on with us. And so it just, this whole paragraph just reminds me how the truth shall set you free. You know, it's just doing these steps is really going to free me up so that I don't have to go back into the hell of compulsive reading. And, you know, it may seem impossible to pay back that money, but there's been so many miracles where it has become possible over time that I've heard of other people. And I've had to make amends to a restaurant that I used to work at where I had stolen food. And it did help me stay, it did free me up. And I don't have to overeat over it. So with that, I think I will pass.
Thank you very, very much, Betsy H. Great kickoff. Okay. Although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since, what would it be, last Wednesday, I guess, and you'd like to comment, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name and first initial of your last name.
Kathy B., Oklahoma.
Kathy B., Oklahoma. Thank you.
Bruce E.
Okay.
Florida.
Wendy B.
Wendy B. Lucy, Florida. Okay. Wendy B., Arizona.
Jeannie N.
Who was that?
Jeannie N.
Jeannie N. And where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
Okay. Thank you.
Joyce Ablin. Joyce A. In
Joyce
Colorado.
Joyce A. In Colorado. Okay. Wonderful. Great lineup to start us off. We got Kathy B., Bruce E., Wendy B., Jeannie N., and Joyce A. Okay. Well, please share with us Kathy B. If you're not Kathy B., please press star 1 to mute your phone. And you'll be followed by Bruce E.
All right. Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Oklahoma. And thank you.
Oops, Kathy, I'm so sorry. Could you press star 1 to unmute? You're accidentally unmuted, I believe.
Or all muted. Right, thank you. I was just thanks. Talking away.
We'll start over again, okay?
Okay.
Thank
you
so
much.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Kathy B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Oklahoma. And thank you very much that I get to share on this paragraph. There's just a lot of great information in it. And the very first sentence, it says, most alcoholics owe money. And that's just like a punchline for me, because this was true for me. Although when I came into the program, you know, I did not think that I would owe money. I really, you know, I was in such denial over so many things. And then another thing that stood out to me in this paragraph is the word creditor. I thought creditor was just someone that loaned money and then I would pay it back over time, you know, with interest. But I looked up the definition, and it is more than that. It is a person or company to whom money is owed. Well, I found out in my fourth and fifth steps that I had many creditors, people and businesses that I did owe an amends to, that I owed financial restitution to for, you know, for taking things that did not belong to me. For shoplifting when I was, you know, in my teens. But then on down the paragraph, it states we must lose our fear of predators no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. I was fearful of making my amends. I had apprehension. I was nervous about it. But I was willing because I wanted the freedom that was promised in the big book. And also, we don't do this. We don't have to do this process alone, because this is a we program. And if you'll notice, even in the paragraph, the word we, which is plural, is mentioned 12 times. And I don't know, that just really stood out to me, that the author was reminding us that, you know, we're not alone. We're not alone. So I had my sponsor. You know, I wasn't alone. So I had my sponsor that guided me through the process. We worked out, you know, who I was going to make amends to, what that would be, and, you know, what I would say, how it would, you know, what it would look like. I also had the hope of the fellowship, others in program who had already worked the 12 steps, and which meant they had made their amends, and they were now living happy, joyous, and free, and I wanted that too for myself. But most of all, by this time in the steps, I have a solution now. I have my higher power who lives within me, and I am not alone. And I'm never alone anymore because my higher power provides for me the strength. Okay, thank you. The strength and the courage to walk through this fear and to do the right thing and to be the person that God would have me to be. And to be of service to others. And I really feel like making these amends, we are being of service. We are being a good example, you know, of a recovery and the person that God would have us to be. Thank you very much for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Kathy B. Okay, Bruce C., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Wendy B.
Well, thank you. Thank you for serving on this line. Thank you, everybody on the line. Bruce E., I'm in Fort Myers, Florida. I'm recovered from the hopeless, just this disease of total depth of this compulsive overeating. And glad to be here. I thought about those restaurants, too. I've stolen from some restaurants. I think I probably did the amends on that, but I'm not sure, so most likely I still need to do the amends on that. The restaurants are probably long closed up and they're in another state, but I can call OA Central Office and make a donation there as an amends after talking to my sponsor. So I had one a number of years ago in this program that came up. And I owed $1,000 to my ex-business partner for stealing from him just when he bought the business. I didn't think he paid me enough, and I didn't want to leave the business anyway. And he bought it from me, and I went on my way, and I stole from him before I left and didn't do anything about that for years. I got in this program and started thinking about that and knew I had to do an amends. So one night, my wife and I just laying in bed reading a newspaper, right? And I said, "Hey, honey, I owe a guy $1,000. She looked at me and she said, "Oh, you're just full of surprises, aren't you?" Well, I am. Yeah, I'm full of surprises. So I sent him the $1,000 like on a Thursday, and I called him on Monday, put a little note with it, called him on Monday to do the verbal apology, and he knew that I had stolen from him. I never knew he knew, and I said, "You got to be kidding me! All these years went by, and you knew that, and you know you still hung around with me and talked to me and stuff." And yeah, I said I knew it, but he said, "I just, you know, knew it happened. I just figured I just need to get over it," and he said, "I got over it." Well, that's pretty amazing that he was that forgiving of a person. Pretty neat guy. I haven't talked to him in a while. Probably need to give him another call and see how he's doing. So, yeah, that was good. That got that one behind me. That was awesome. And that's what's so good about this program is we can do those amends and get that out of the way and get that behind us, and we don't have to have that. We don't have to eat over it anymore. That's what I was doing, is I was just eating over all this stuff, you know, all this money I owed. I owed a lot of people money. I paid up back, I think, pretty much all of it that I can think of.
Gentle reminder.
Maybe not those restaurants, but Yeah, as they come up. Thank you. As they come up, I can do them, do the amends. When I get to the next time doing fourth, fifth step, I can do some more. So thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Brucey.
Wendy B., you're up next, followed by Jeannie M.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the line where it says, "We do not dodge our creditors." It's just like really real and applicable to me today. You know, this paragraph is saying, you know, we pay what we owe, you know. And I'm currently branching into an area of private caregiving. Before, I've always worked for an agency. And I'll be working as an independent contractor, and I'll be setting up, you know, my taxes as a sole proprietor, and I'll be able to deduct expenses. And I have some family members who are advising me, you know, to write off some questionable expenses, you know, so I won't have to pay any taxes. You know, and it's pretty tempting, you know, to bend my ethics, you know, to be able to not pay what I owe to the government. You know, but I don't want to set up a situation where I'll need to make financial amends down the road, you know, where I'll be trying to be sneaky and get away with things. You know, that's like dodging my creditors, you know, and I want to be above board and honest and to not try to stretch the truth, you know, so I won't live in fear and of being found out, you know, living in guilt. And, you know, I like making choices today that don't go against my own ethics, you know, and my belief system, you know, of paying what I owe, you know, and giving the government what it's due. And so I called my tax preparer and I got the guidelines on what the legitimate deductions are. And my intention, you know, is to comply with them, you know, and it's just really freeing to not live in guilt. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. in Arizona. And Jeannie N., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm a little nervous because I don't share often, so bear with me. But I am so glad I tuned into this 10 o'clock meeting. I did two other meetings this morning before this. I'm doing my ninth step now, and it just brought up to me something else. They had included on there. Years ago, when my spouse was alive, I stole money from the household, one of the household sources, and I lied about it, and I got away with it. I mean, he was too busy to keep track, you know. And I need to add that to my amends. And the other thing I wanted to share was. Years ago, when I was in traditional OA, I did have a bad experience with making amends with somebody I worked with, and she really rejected me and wouldn't accept the amends. And I just wanted to share that it really doesn't matter if it goes bad or good. You know, if I had the bad experience, I was the only one I ever had bad. You know, I learned from it, and
gentle reminder.
Yeah, and I am so grateful for this program. Thank you so much, everybody, and thank you for your service and everybody's service. Bye bye.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jeannie Ann. Okay, Joyce A. is up next, and after Joyce, we'll take another lineup. We're commenting on page 78, page 2, paragraph 2, which begins with "Most alcoholics owe money," and ends "If we are afraid to face them." Just that one paragraph. So please share with us, Joyce A.
Thank you so much. Can I be heard?
You sound great.
Okay. I'm Joyce A. in Colorado. And on the paragraph, what it reminded me of was the very first time I ever stole anything, and it was quite memorable. I was probably 5 years old, maybe even younger, and had walked to Woolworth's Five and Dime with my grandmother
on our usual morning shopping spree. And in the display case for the jewelry, apparently some necklace or something had broken, and there was a little pearl in the gutter. And I picked that little pearl up and pocketed it. And on the way home, I showed it to my grandmother. And she abruptly turned around and marched me right back to that store and to the sales clerk and to the department manager. And I had to confess that I had taken something that did not belong to me. I didn't think it had a lot of value. It was obviously something that was broken and was probably going to be thrown away. But I was already at 5 years old justifying these things in my mind. And but I did turn it back in, and as you can tell, it was a memorable event. So, yeah, I learned right away that if it's not yours, keep your hands off of it. I have made a lot of amends financially and food-wise. I've stolen food from roommates and housemates and not necessarily restaurants, but I never worked in a restaurant. But anyway, I've had to make quite a few amends about food and other things in my life that I've acquired that were not mine to acquire. On another note, I'd like to say that this is probably the first time I've been back to a meeting in months. I was diagnosed January 20th with cancer, and I have been fighting that cancer up until this day, and I have a few more to go. My end of treatment will be the 11th of this month. I'm feeling much, much better. But I got to tell you, there were some dark nights of the soul in there where, had it not been for my relationship with God, I might have just called it off. It's a grueling treatment, but I made it through. And I made it through because God was with me every minute of every day. I'm not abstinent right now, and I've been forgiven for that. I will get back on program. I will find my abstinence again with God's help and with this program and with all of your help, because we don't do this alone. We don't do anything alone. I have a team of doctors, nurses, technicians, family, prayer warriors.
Central reminder.
Thank you. My drivers, the people that have just come out of the woodwork to help me get through this has been overwhelming. And I am so incredibly grateful.
Thank you so much, Joyce.
Thank you. I'll pass.
I'm one of many others that have also been through that journey with God's help and program support. So, Cheering you on. We value everybody's experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 78, paragraph 2, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name and where you're calling from.
Nancy L.
Nancy L.
Great. Kathy G.
I heard some. Oh, Kathy G. Yep.
Thank Chris, you.
Chris S. in Washington.
Chris S. in Washington. Thank you.
Robin A. in California.
Robin A. California. Anybody else? Okay, beautiful. We've got Nancy L. followed by Kathy G. I think it's Krista S., and if I got your name wrong, please correct me when it's your turn, and Robin A. in California. So, Nancy L., please share with us. You'll be followed by Kathy G.
Well, thank you so much. Nancy L., recovered in Arizona. Boy, that amends thing. You know, way back when, I didn't know that amphetamines and alcohol don't mix very well. And so I was on both and got into some trouble with the police and driving and hit and run stuff going on. I mean, really bad stuff. And so the judge, I'll never forget, he said, you either have this many months in jail or pay this much. And I said, I'll pay it. Gladly, I'll pay it. No, no jail for me. So I didn't have a penny to my name, and I went to my boyfriend, and he was very gracious and kind to lend me the money. Well, I paid that money, so I didn't have to serve time. And immediately after that was done, I dodged my boyfriend. I broke up with him. Now I didn't have to pay him back, right? But man, I get in this program and I'm finding out, oh yeah, I think I do need to pay him back. I can't even remember his first name. Anyway, I'm sorry for laughing. I shouldn't. This is serious stuff. It's serious stuff. Anyway, I was able to pay it back and I gave it to charities. And it was a little at a time. I didn't do it in one lump sum, but it was, it was just relief. What a beautiful relief to have it paid off. And bless that guy. I feel so sorry for him, but I can't. There's nothing I can do other than maybe pray for him that he would forgive me. And I'm grateful that I have forgiven myself and that I'm abstinent today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for sharing your story, Nancy L. Okay, we have Kathy G. up next, followed by Krista S. Please share with us, Kathy G. Star one to unmute. Star one to unmute, Kathy.
Oops, so sorry, Elaine. I was talking away. All right, so thanks for your service and good morning, everyone. Kathy G. in Illinois. Grateful to be here with everyone. And just so relating to the shares this morning. Thank you, everyone. That the alcoholic owes money. And it's funny, I didn't necessarily owe that much money. I always had a really keen conscience. And I just remember stealing this little bag of, it was called Gold Rocks or something, like gum in this Muslim bag when I was a little girl. And, you know, the ordeal I went through in my soul. And then I ended up going back to the store and just leaving a dime on the cash register so I could be relieved of the guilt. So that wasn't one of my major things. And I probably owe some money somewhere that I don't even know about. But as the topic came up this morning, I was just talking to my sponsor this morning, and I realized I still really have financial stuff. And it's mostly vagueness that triggers me. And when there's vagueness around finances, and I once heard somebody say that vagueness creates a landing strip for this illness. And I just recognize my husband and I have just gone through this season where everything in the house, it seems like, has broken. I mean, literally, we've gotten like 3 new appliances. They took out the dishwasher. The floor needs to be replaced. We have a retaining wall that needs to be placed. The fence, the water. It was everything, like fast and intense. And then we found out that our youngest daughter is getting married and the wedding. And so I just noticed with my husband, because of his stress, like some financial stuff coming up, conversations, and I'm realizing that there's a lot of vagueness in it, and it's making me a little anxious. And so I need to do a 10-step on that today and realize that I have to have clarity, and that I'm going to have a conversation with him after I do the 10-step, and then just communicate that we're going to have a conversation, the three of us, just so we can really have clarity about what's going on financially, how much we have, so that our daughter doesn't have to feel that anxiety too. So anyway, thanks for listening. I'll pass there.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathy G. Okay, Krista S. from Washington,
yes.
You're up next.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for everyone who is doing service in your shares. This is Krista S., and it's Chris, K-R-I-S-T, and my initial for my last name is S, as in Sam, and I'm in Washington. And there's two lines here that I've underlined and I'm taking to heart is, we must lose our drinking, in my case eating, has made us slow to pay, and we must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. And my eating and other, behaviors kept me from making the amends I needed to make around money issues. And I thought I was so good about the finances that I was taking care of, but little tiny things, excuse me, I just kind of let them drift away, but they would still be nagging at my brain and nagging at my heart. And when I did make some of these, well, two of them that just kept on and on and on, and they were years old, with the help of my sponsor, writing down exactly what I would say and how much I needed to pay back, because there wasn't any definite amount, I did that. And what relief and what serenity I felt afterwards. It is a WE program. And when you're making these amends, definitely include your sponsor and definitely listen to the stories, the experience, and hope that people on this line are sharing. So thank you. Thank you for all of you who have shared and being a part of my journey. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Chris S. Okay, Robin A. is up next, and then we'll take another lineup on people who'd like to share on page 78, paragraph 2. Most alcoholics owe money, and ends with if we are afraid to face them. So Robin A., please share with us. Star one to unmute, Robin.
Hi, sorry, I thought I was muted. Hi, good morning. This is Robin, compulsive eater, speaking, recovering this program. I'm a newcomer, and but I'm familiar with the big book, and the shares have been so helpful, but it has really brought up a lot of emotions for me and fear. I am having fear and thinking about everything that I do owe and what's going to need to be done and this journey. But I'm so grateful to hear about the WE again. WE, and just staying in the moment, staying in the present and knowing what do I need to do right now, and that this will be something that I won't have to go through alone, that there's a lot of trust that needs to be built with a higher power, that when I get to this place and to this step, that hopefully there'll be that space that I'm not doing this alone, and both with people in the program and with my higher power, that I'll be taken care of. And right now it's just this whirlwind, this tornado in my head of, oh, this, and then this, and then this, and then this, So, but to be able to hear people talk about it lightly and share their experiences, good and bad, this past week as well, has really just been hopeful to know that I'm not the only one, the one that's, the worst, or better than everybody, and to be in denial, like, I don't know, owe anything. So I'm just glad to be here. My sponsor suggested that I share, and so I don't have a lot to say yet. And just thank you all for being here.
Thank you for being here, Robin. Thank you so much for sharing. Welcome, welcome. Okay. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since last Wednesday, we'd love to hear from you. Please press star one to unmute. We have time for probably 2-3 minute and 1 2-minute shares.
Vivian A.
Vivian A. Star one to unmute if you'd like to comment. Anybody else like to get in this lineup?
Last call.
Joan Robin L.
Joan Robin L. And we have time for 2 minutes share after that. Anybody else would like to take that? Okay, we'll go with Vivian A. and Joan Robin L.
Sandra Maria from Sweden. Sorry, I couldn't mute myself.
Okay, Sandra Maria from Sweden. Okay, you'll be all fine to share for today. Great. So Vivian A., please share with us. Let us know where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Vivian A. from California. Thank you for allowing me to do service and for everyone being here this morning. I remember back at the start of program for me and fear of financial responsibilities that I had dodged, not paying my creditors, and I wanted to buy a home. And we had to seek financial, a counselor, actually it was from a church, and we drew up our credit report. And oh my, Equifax and Meridian. And we looked at everything and all of the bad debt that we had not taken care of over the years. And it was a hard thing to do because first we had to borrow the money to pay back those creditors. And we were already showing that we weren't paying our debts. So there was a lot of forgiveness that we had to work on around that. And through the help of this spiritual leader through our finances, we sat down and wrote apology letters to every institution that we had defrauded, along with a check according to our credit report, making amends. And I'll tell you, that was the best. It was a hard lesson to learn, but it was the best amends I think I have ever made. Because to this day, I pay my bills on time. And I just thank, you know, program and spiritual leaders that were there to help us through that. That was a tough time in our lives. But to come up in the right standing with our finances, with dignity, and to know that we made amends and that we took care of it properly, it was worth all the work. And Vivian A. from California, thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you very much, very, very much. Okay, next we have, that was Joan Robin. No, next we have Joan Robin L. Sorry for my
yes.
confusion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Joan. Please share with us, Joan Robin.
Thank you. This is Joan Robin L. from South Carolina, and I did my own business taxes this year, specifically because I wanted to learn firsthand what I could deduct and what I couldn't deduct. And in the end, so I thought, I owed $3 to the state. And as I was reviewing my deductions, I realized that I was off by $1. I overestimated instead of underestimated. And I thought, if I ever get audited for that $1, it could open up a can of worms, and I do not want that. So I went back and I heard, you will be rewarded for your diligence. I went back, I changed it, and the $3 was removed, even though I went down $1 in deduction. And I really felt, with no question at all, that this was a blessing from my higher power, that I heard from my higher power, and that there was more coming, because I did the best I could to do the right thing in terms of the finances. And I am just so, so grateful. So that's what I wanted to share. I also want to add that I was in debt after I took medical leave from my profession, and I was in debt for 10 years. And I thought I was so smart because I was using zero interest, and that dried up. And then I had to pay interest. And then there was incredible fear. And It took 3.5 years, but I am totally debt-free and rejoicing that I have no credit card debt. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Joan Robin L. And Sandra Marie B., you actually have 3 minutes, so please share with us. Star one to unmute, Sandra Marie B.
Was that me, Sandra Maria, that could share?
Yes, yes,
okay,
Sandra Maria. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Sandra Maria, grateful to be a compulsive eater from Sweden. And I feel such gratitude when I listen to you all and to the steps specifically, because I've been around in OA for many years. And I remember the first time I did my amends, it was a lot to clean up, and I had so much guilt that was really killing me from the inside out. And I remember when I was doing my amends, making my amends, it was many times I felt like I wanted the other people to do it before, but when I did it, it really changed the relationship. Anyway, so what I remember the most when it comes to money was that I didn't know my parents' money, but I had so much fear of letting them know about me having taken a lot of loans. So I own a lot of different companies, like loan companies, money, but I mean, I paid to get the loan, so it was like, it was nothing I did illegally, if I say so, but I was struggling and I was delaying things, and they said okay, but then it came to the end that I would be basically have, you know, they will come into my home, they will take everything I own. I was like going bankrupt basically, and I took great loans because of my addiction in another fellowship relating to money, but also codependency to two men that I was in a really tough relationship to anyways, but I don't blame them. It was my disease and my decision, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't think about the consequences in the way that they actually did. So I took it by my own sake, so to speak. Anyways, it came to a time where I stood in front of these, you know, losing everything I had, my home, my everything. I didn't have too much, but they would just ruin me, and I would have these debts forever. And I went home that season for Christmas, and I actually did not have anywhere to stay that season either, because I had no money. So they didn't know anything about this, my parents, but they wanted to give me a gift, which I had no clue about because something in their company had really grown and so on. So when they said that I could have this gift, I felt in my heart like I can't receive this money if I don't tell them the truth. I had no need to do it, and I knew it would cause them so much anger, resentment, and fears and everything, but I felt like I need to do it, otherwise I can't live. So I did it, and that changed everything, because everything was put into the light, and my daddy asked me to go home and just write down every single money I earned, some you know, companies. So I did that. Yeah, thank you. I did that, but by the grace of God, the money that I received from them could make me pay off all the things I had that time, and I could do it by God's grace, because I had been praying a lot for God to help me, and also been,
thank you,
serving, so to speak. So anyway, I'm grateful. I'm really grateful, but I'm also powerless when it comes to money, as well as with food. So I stay there, and I love outreach. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Sandra Marie B. What a wonderful share. So many wonderful shares today. We're now going to close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Shelley E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. So we'll keep you until then.
You bet. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.